By faith, Enoch. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch. I found it pretty interesting that this great man of God did what he did in the time in which he lived. It's interesting, out of all of the individuals that were named, men like Abel, men like Noah, Abraham, women like Sarah, and the list goes on and on of great men and women who by faith did mighty things. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Probably thinking, well, Enoch, great man, did good things, of course, and God did something magnificent with him. But when we consider Enoch, I want us to consider just a few things. The idea of faith in the New Testament is very interesting, for it is the conviction or the belief respecting man's relationship to God or divine things. It's the idea of trust and holy fervor or zeal. When you consider men and women like Enoch, those who did what God said. The reason why I stress that is because, remember, Romans 10 and verse number 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I'm coming to find out that it's interesting that everyone doesn't believe that. And the reason why is because when we consider faith, trust, confidence in God, in his word, comes by hearing, and hearing by the utterances, the word of God. That means that whatever God says, that's what's going to be done. It reminded me of Noah when Noah built the ark, and the Bible says that he did everything according to the word of God. When you think of the tabernacle and the tabernacle being erected, and Moses and the children of Israel, and everything was done according to the word of God. Nothing left out, nothing added. And so when we think about Enoch, I have this question. Can you imagine trusting God so much in your flesh and in your spirit? That's the whole man. That God would take you and you would not see death. Can you imagine that? Well, that's what happened to Enoch. And I venture to say that Enoch is the one in whom God wants us to look at for the example of faith. Well, Brother Bonner, we have all these examples, but none like Enoch. To the point that God said, I'm taking you from this place. Now, I want us to consider that, because when we think about this, Enoch, according to Jude 14, is the seventh from Adam, meaning seven generations from Adam. You find this man, Enoch. He is the father of Methuselah. Methuselah, we know he lived some 979 years, if I'm not mistaken. And his name means when it comes, when you die, it shall come. Literally, when the flood comes, or when you die, the flood is coming. And that's exactly what took place. Now, I want us to consider, this great man of God was in the lineage of Jesus Christ, according to Luke chapter 3 and verse number 37, in the lineage of Christ. So, seventh from Adam, father of Methuselah, also in the lineage of Christ, and his name literally means dedicated. Well, he really lived up to his name, did he not? He was dedicated to God. He was one in whom God spoke to, and he listened to God. We can prove that. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 22, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. The only way that two can walk together, they have to be in agreement. Amos 3 and verse number 3. So we know that God gave Enoch instructions and that Enoch took those instructions and he lived accordingly. We know that Enoch was one that listened to God, because Methuselah being named by Enoch, and Enoch must have been one who spoke on behalf of God, thus being a prophet. So we stop and we consider this, friends. We think about the great life of this man. 365 years he lived. Now think about that. 365 years Enoch lived, and the Bible says he walked with God. The Bible says that he was faithful, and the Bible says that God took him because of his life. That's a long time to be faithful. That's a long time to be consistent. That's a long time to be doing the will of God. Now you think about the short time that we have here on this earth, and some struggle even with that. But as we make just a small transition, and we'll come back to Enoch, remember, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So our faith must be based upon a system of faith. Jude 3. So we know that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that which was once for all delivered unto the saints. But it made me think about something. When Jesus was here, the Bible teaches us in Luke 7 and verse number 9 that he was looking for faith. He said, I have not even found faith, not even in Israel. And so when he saw the faith of the centurion, he was looking for it. We know that while he was on the earth, we know according to Luke chapter 7 and verse number 50, he actually found faith. There was a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile woman, and she was faithful. As a matter of fact, Jesus would tell that woman, go, for your faith has made thee whole. And isn't it interesting that when Jesus Christ comes back, Luke 18 and verse number 8, he says, will he find faith upon the earth? Guess what Jesus is looking for when he comes back? Faith. Trust. The same thing that God was looking for in men of old, women of old, he saw in Enoch. And to the point that Enoch had so much trust in God, God said, you can't stay there. I'm taking you. I believe God is about to show us a picture of what the life of Enoch and what he did with Enoch. And friends, I venture to say, he can even do with us. Stay with me. Remember, Enoch was translated. He had a faith that pleased God. That's the only way to please God. It's by faith. Okay? Which means that God has given us his word, he has given us instruction, and we have a responsibility to trust in him, trust in his instruction, trust in his son, trust in salvation, knowing that God will save us. So with that being said, because of his faith, God took him, God translated him. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse number 5. And I need you to put on your spiritual lenses, not physical. Spiritual. Now notice verse 5. By faith, remember, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Enoch, dedicated, was taken away. Translated, one version would say, so that he did not see death. The word translated, or the idea there, literally means to be transferred, to be changed, to be carried over, to be transported. Literally from one realm to another, from one location to another. This idea is illustrated very clearly in Acts chapter 7. Turn your Bibles there real quick. Let's illustrate this particular point of translated, carried over, carried away. In Acts chapter 7, verse number 15 and 16. Here, remember, Stephen is speaking. And really, he's doing more than that. I'm being nice by saying that. He's preaching. But he brings up Jacob. And you remember what Jacob told his sons, that when you leave the land of Egypt and God takes you out of this place, do not leave my bones here. Take them where? Take them to Canaan. Isn't that right? That's what he told his sons to do. And notice what Stephen here has to say in verse number, let's start at verse 14, we'll read through verse number 15. Then Joseph sent and called his father Jacob and all his relatives to him, 75 people. So Jacob went down to Egypt and he died. He and our fathers, here it is. And they were carried back, this is his bones, they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. The idea, the word there, carried back, transported. His bones were transported from one place to another. We see that in the book of Genesis chapter 50. In the book of Genesis chapter 50, I believe in verse number 11 through verse number 13, you see that illustrated there. That's a powerful point, especially with the idea of carried over or transported, transferred or changed. But this particular word here is very powerful because Enoch was translated that he would not see death. Question, what about us? Now I need you to put on your spiritual glasses. Put on your spiritual glasses. And the reason why, was this ever said for the Christian? For the one who would follow after God? I need us to be considering, because we have to ask ourselves the question, can you imagine living your life to a point that God will position you to never see death? Remember Jesus' words? Turn your Bibles to the book of John. I'm glad y'all are pondering. And remember what I told you. Do not look at this from a physical perspective. It's not physical. Oh, because Enoch, did he die physically? Mm-mm. He went from one life to the other. God is also showing us a picture. You know, those, when Jesus Christ comes back, they're not going to be buried. They're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the Lord comes back. Do you know those of us who have sinned against God and have obeyed the gospel? Do you know if you live faithful that you will never see death? I think sometimes we look at things too much on the physical side. When God is showing us a picture of Enoch, who was a man who walked with God, meaning that he was spiritual, God says, you cannot see death. I'm taking you with me. Notice John chapter 11, starting at verse number 21. You remember the context dealing with Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, their brother. In verse number 21, you remember they had sent for Jesus. Jesus tarried some 4 days, and now he finally gets to Mary and Martha, and he's been dead. And remember what was said to Jesus. Now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's okay. That's good. Let's see what Jesus has to say. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall what? Live. It's interesting. She said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Now, I want us to drop down to verse number 40, just for information's sake and time's sake. All this, you can go back and look at it yourself. You're probably well familiar with it. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. You would see him being raised from the dead. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. They saw the glory of Almighty God. They saw a dead man being raised. And it made me think about those of us who have been baptized into Christ. We were buried into the death of Christ, Romans chapter 6, and we was raised to walk in the newness of life, never to die again. Never to die again. And it made me think that when this physical body is laid down, our spiritual man goes to a waiting place, very much alive. And we know it's very much alive because you remember when Moses had died, according to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And God had buried Moses. And we know this because Michael the archangel and the devil was disputing over the body of Moses according to the book of Jude. But we know that Moses was very much alive because at the Mount of Transfiguration, according to Matthew chapter 17 and Luke chapter 9, who was there talking with Jesus? It was Moses, Elijah, and the Lord. Very much alive. That's interesting. Moses, dead on the earth, yet alive somewhere. It's interesting that Enoch was alive on the earth and he's alive somewhere. And then it made me think about John 5. Go to John 5. I quoted this morning, but I didn't make the connection until I was pondering and pondering and pondering. As I was pondering this, I said, this is interesting. In John 5, we know according to verse number 20 and 21, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than those that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Notice this. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has what? Everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Do we really understand and appreciate that when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we went from death to life to never die again? So the next time someone passes away in the Lord and they die faithful, Revelation 14, 13, do you know that we can actually rejoice because they have went from really life to life? Because they already died once. And this is why we're trying to hurry and get the gospel out. Because we don't want people to die twice. The physical death, of course, is going to occur. That's nothing. The spiritual death, that's what we ought to be concerned about. The spiritual death. And so when we stop and we consider, when one is baptized into Christ, all of their sins have been washed away. In the mind of God, you are forgiven. I forget. Wow. Which means that when one has not been baptized into Christ, they're still in their sins. Therefore, God remembers everything that they have done. But because of the blood of Christ, just as during the time of the Exodus, God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 7, Christ is our Passover. He passed over our sins, thus forgetting our sins, never to remember them no more. Hebrews chapter 8, 8 through 13. Friends, this gave great joy to my heart to be reminded that I am alive and my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. My citizenship is in heaven just as yours is. And so it made me think about this as we close. Enoch. What did Enoch do to be so pleasing to God? Well, we know he prophesied. We know he lived faithful. We know he had a family because he had a son. He must have done everything that God wanted him to do because God says, I'm pleased with you. And so God leaves Enoch for us. He's an example worth following. And the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Just as Enoch's name means dedicated, how dedicated should we be in order to be well-pleasing to God? Friends, I want to say it like this. We need to have both feet in. We need to be all in when it comes to our faith. We sung a song of faith that will not shrink. As we were singing that, Brother Victor, this lesson came home even more and more. A faith that will not shrink doesn't matter of any earthly foe. Doesn't matter what comes my way, whether physical, in health, whether opposition from a brother or otherwise. I have to have my eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith. And because of that, that's what's going to please God. And so when Jesus Christ comes back, Brother Royce, he has to see what? He has to see faith. If he doesn't see faith in me, I won't see the Father. And so, a faith that will not shrink, leaning on the everlasting arm. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We better lean hard. And that means, and I end with this passage. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which means anything that is not of faith is what, Brother Royce? What is it? Sin. That ought to encourage us that everything that God has given in his word, properly interpreted, properly applied, will lead us to Christian living in a flawless way. Promise you. Brother Mike, are you saying that we could be flawless in Christ? Yep. Sure can. Why? Because even when I mess up, even when I transgress, I can say, Father, forgive me. I have sinned. And I'll be just like Elizabeth and Zechariah. I'll be blameless, thus flawless. And so when Jesus Christ comes back, will he find faith? The answer is yes, he will find it. The question is, will he find it in us? Maybe you're not a child of God. I'm trying to see anybody. But maybe you're not a child of God. Think about having a faith like Enoch, one who's dedicated, by believing in the Christ, the Son of the living God, willing to repent of your sins unto life, confess Jesus Christ unto life, and be baptized that you may walk in the newness of life. And when you do that, God will give you life eternally with him, never to die again. That's real life right there. So the very thing that scares men and women all around us, which is the sting of death, Jesus came to take away that sting. And for those of us who are in Christ, death is going to be exactly what it is. It's going to be death. But it doesn't have to be when you're in Christ, because you're already alive in the land of the reality. And that's heaven. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.